what you know you can't explain. But you feel it. You felt it your entire life. That there's something wrong. You don't know what it is, but it's there. Like a splinter in your mind driving you mad. Experience the awakening. Brilliant anonymous researchers. Patriots, join us in the Patriot Army. Trust the plan, pain coming. Boom, boom, boom. Let's go. RedStateTalkRadio.com, Brighteon.tv, Rumble.com/MG Show. End won't be for everyone. That choice to know will be yours. Where we go one, we go all. Fight, 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 and fight we will. We fight every day right here on the MG Show.
Hey, welcome to the MG Show. I've got some interesting noise. There we go. Sounds better. It's 12:07 p.m. on the East Coast. It's February 3rd already. Punxsutawney Phil apparently saw a shadow 6 weeks of winter for all you guys that are not in Florida. I've got a very special guest on, and you've got to ask yourself a question. Will Roger Stone have flannel on for Flannel Fridays on the MG Show? To find out, we'll be right back because we're going to get these commercials out of the way. Yeti, roll that beautiful boom footage.
Government-induced inflation, taxes, rising interest rates, and political instability. They all have a crushing effect on our investments, often causing the stock market to go down. They can also cause gold and silver to go up. There's a time to be in stocks, bonds, and mutual funds, and there's a time to get out. This is the time to hold gold and silver. Kirk Elliott, double PhD, has been protecting individual Americans' assets for more than two decades.
Hi, I'm Kirk Elliott. There is no such thing as a bad investment. There is only bad timing for investments. And now is the time to own gold and silver.
Now is the time to own physical metals in an IRA, a 401k, and of course outside of a retirement plan. Don't let the government destroy your hard-earned assets. Please call 720-605-3900. 720-605-3900 for gold, silver, and undeniable economic protection against out-of-control government.
Support the guys and mention MG Show when you call.
And welcome back to the MG Show, Flannel Friday right here on the MG Show. And don't forget, mypillow.com, mypillow.com, use code MG Show. The number is not there. I always forget it. I don't know why I don't remember that. I say it every day. 800-873-0478. Call 1-800-873-0478 for a great deal and talk to somebody live. To order your MyPillow from MyPillow.com. We also have a landing page, MyPillow.com/MG Show. Now, I know you guys are wondering, Shady Groove is actually in the air. We might be seeing Shady Groove live in person this weekend right here in sunny South Florida, maybe windy South Florida when he gets here, but we'll see because there's a storm coming, and maybe that storm is us. But without any further ado, I have got the best dressed political analyst and person in the country right here with me, riding shotgun, Roger Stone. Roger, come on in here.
And here we are. Boom. I had to look for the flannel. I got to be honest with you. There's not a lot of flannel here in South Florida. So I had to go into storage, but I did pick up this vintage baby. And I'm delighted to be here. Now, when I heard that Shady was not going to be on the show, I tried to cancel, folks. I'm going to be honest with you. I was going to cancel. But then they said, well, you can fill in for Shady. So here I am.
Yeah, we got Roger Stone standing in for Shady. I don't think anybody else could actually stand in Shady's place besides you, sir. And thank you very much for coming on the show with your flannel. I mean, you know, I understand you did have to go look for one because you're right. We don't have flannel in Florida. I mean, that's just it. It's hot here and it's hot right now, right here in South Florida. So, Roger, thank you for coming. I know that you're a very busy man and you've got to, I mean, look at what's happening in this world today. I guess I want to just give you a second. One, maybe if some, you know, if there are some new people listening right now, who is Roger Stone? And then, you know, let's talk about, you know, what's going on with the balloons and Iran or excuse me, Ukraine. Did you see that they're raiding Ukraine private bank guy? The FBI is raiding everything. You know, we want to kind of get your take and perspective on all that. But who is Roger Stone for everybody that doesn't know you yet? And that's surprising if they don't know you.
So for those of you who have evidently been living under a rock, my name is Roger Stone. I'm a veteran of 12 national presidential campaigns, going all the way back to Richard Nixon, three campaigns for the great Ronald Reagan, a former Senate staff assistant to Senator Bob Dole, one of the greatest Americans of the 20th century, and of course, a 43-year friend and political advisor to the greatest president since Abraham Lincoln. That would be Donald J. Trump. Although I'm a New York Times best-selling author, and although I've always had a very lively political commentary at StoneZone.com, in 2019, I was targeted by Robert Mueller and the Russian collusion witch hunt, and charged with lying to Congress about Russian collusion that we now know definitively actually never happened. So it's not even possible to lie about something that didn't happen. They had to fabricate these process charges, even though no misstatement I made to Congress was material. None of it hid any underlying crime, specifically not Russian collusion or WikiLeaks collaboration. But all of this was designed to put enormous personal and financial pressure on me and my family to force me to testify falsely against Trump. So they could then kind of forge that into an article of impeachment. And I refused to do that. I already passed three lie detector tests proving that everything I said regarding my scant knowledge of WikiLeaks, I had learned online. It was all public information. So it was an epically corrupt prosecution, but through the power of prayer, through the redemption of my faith, and through the courage and boldness of Donald J. Trump, I live to be with you today. So that's who Roger Stone is. Now, other people, having gone through what I went through, because believe me, when you have the full force of the federal government come after you, and they have no rules and no ethics. So I had a biased and hateful judge. I had a corrupted jury forewoman who said during jury selection she'd never heard of me, didn't know who I was. But then we learned that she'd been attacking me by name on Twitter and Facebook the year before my trial regarding the very matter in which she was later selected as a juror. But she had those postings on a private setting to hide them. She should have been prosecuted. Of course, she wasn't. I had a stacked jury, all Democrats, no military veterans, certainly no Republicans. No evangelical Christians. It was a bank of Trump haters and prosecutors who hid exculpatory evidence in which they admitted that they couldn't find any evidence of Russian connections by me or collaboration with WikiLeaks. So it's a kind of experience that turns your life upside down. I lost my home. I lost my car. I lost my savings. I lost most of our insurance. I lost my ability to make a living. I was gagged for 16 months. I couldn't come on a show like this and even defend myself. So even today, whether it's on Twitter or whether it's in line at the local liquor store, somebody accuses me of being a Russian traitor, someone who knows nothing whatsoever about the case. Some others will accuse me of treason. I always say, no, pardon me, I think you have me confused with Hunter Biden.
It's a, you know, and you couldn't say it better yourself. I mean, people have been really brainwashed with this Russian collusion stuff. You know, it turned, you know, a lot of people's lives upside down, including yours. And, you know, you did nothing wrong. In fact, that song that the Deplorable Choir made, Roger Stone did nothing wrong. Maybe we'll play that today as well. But, you know, God bless you for standing your ground and fighting the deep state. But, you know, it does take a toll on one's life, personally, financially, spiritually. But there's a lot of people here, at least our audience, you know, praying for you and, you know, knowing that you did nothing wrong. We knew that a long time ago.
But what's amazing to me is the way the same actors keep recycling the same lies. So after spending at least $30 million, probably more, with unlimited political power and with the entire legacy media behind them, both Adam Schiff and epically corrupt prosecutor Andrew Weissman, who was really running the Mueller investigation, both insist that Trump campaign manager Paul Manafort shared polling information with a Russian intelligence asset named Konstantin Kalimnik. Aaron Blake, perhaps the biggest liar at the Washington Post, and by the way, that's a distinction, because they're all full of shit at the Washington Post. He recycles this again. Here's the problem, Aaron. Konstantin Kalimnik is a U.S. intelligence asset, not a Russian intelligence asset. There is no proof to the contrary other than the lies of John Brennan. And John Brennan lied about everything. And he did a lot of his lying under oath to Congress. So that's all. That's the Russian collusion. That's not Russian collusion at all. Number one, the Trump campaign had no proprietary polling information at the time that this was allegedly took place. So anything Manafort may have given to Kalimnik was published in the newspaper. And secondarily, Kalimnik is a U.S. intelligence asset. Aaron Blake of the Washington Post, stop lying. You just got called out on a very big lie. And then when you cite the Senate Intelligence Committee report as proof of Russian collusion, every single reference to me in the Senate Intelligence Committee report is factually inaccurate. That thing is a paste-up job where you just take a completely non-credible source. For example, the Daily Beast, and take something they wrote and say, well, this is a fact because they wrote it. No, if the Daily Beast reports it, ladies and gentlemen, that means, by definition, it is factually incorrect. It's a lie. And unfortunately, we have to be out here refuting this again and again because they recycle the same lies. General Michael Flynn is a traitor. General Michael Flynn was talking improperly to his Russian counterpart. No, General Michael Flynn is one of the greatest Americans who ever lived, a man of courage, a man of faith, but they continue to denigrate him. And, of course, they continue to sue both of us endlessly. So last week, I'm happy to say that a D.C. judge appointed by Barack Obama dismissed all charges against me in a civil case filed by 8 Capitol Hill police officers, but really filed by a George Soros left-wing front group in which they make various allegations against me regarding January 6th. An occasion in which I was not at the Ellipse, didn't march to the Capitol, wasn't at the Capitol, and in which they put forward no evidence or proof whatsoever that I knew in advance about, participated in, or condoned any illegal action on January 6th. It's like throw Stone's name into the lawsuit for clickbait, and also because he's been vilified. These lawyers need to be sanctioned and ultimately need to be disbarred.
You know, equal justice under the law is a pretty fair thing to talk about, you know, and we don't have equal justice under the law, Roger. You know, you should be able to countersue all these people and get everything that they took back. You know, I mean, it was a lie from the beginning and they're still lying. It just blows my mind.
No, and unfortunately, you're absolutely right. You're barred from suing the government. You can't sue the FBI for storming my home at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Well, CNN right there in tow. I mean, CNN was right there. They knew about the raid, Roger. I mean, that was.
I think this is very important. I was arrested at 6:06 at 6 in the morning. At 6:11, Sarah Murray of CNN sends my lawyer by text a copy of my, listen carefully, sealed criminal indictment, which isn't unsealed till 10:30 that morning. Her possession of that is a felony. The fact that she has it is a felony. Beyond that, however, the indictment has no court markings or timestamp on it. But when you look at the metadata tags, it has the initial of the man who wrote it, Andrew Weissman. Ergo, proof that he leaked it to CNN. It's his document. This is a crime. This guy likes to go on and on and about MSNBC, about other people. Andrew Weissman lied to cover up mob murders. Andrew Weissman was charged with judicial misconduct in his great Enron case. Every single conviction was reversed, was thrown out because of his misconduct. So stop holding out the Enron case as some great example, other than as an example of his own corruption. And then he destroyed the memories of the cell phones of the Mueller prosecutors when they were under subpoena by John Durham. So again, the two-term justice, the two-tier justice system grinds on, but there's nothing worse than a dirty cop, and he is the dirtiest cop of them all.
You know, and, you know, we were talking about, you know, the Russia and Mueller, and now McGonigal enters the scene. You know, what do you know about this McGonigal? Did you know about him before all of this coming out just recently?
I did not, but I do know that in 2016, a gentleman contacted me through a mutual friend, called himself Henry Greenberg, and he insisted that he had information on Hillary Clinton that he thought would be valuable to Donald Trump's campaign. So I met very briefly with Mr. Greenberg, who was very clearly Eastern European. I didn't know this at the time, but he was actually a Russian national. He was also a convicted killer and therefore was only in the United States on an FBI visa. He was an informant. He has been an informant for 14 years. I asked him what information he had. I told him I couldn't assess whether it was of any value until I saw it. He said, well, that's going to cost you $2 million. I laughed and I said, well, if I had $2 million, that's not how I would spend it. And he said, no, no, you don't understand. It's not your money I want. It's Donald Trump's money. And I said, no, you don't understand. Donald Trump doesn't pay for information. Nice to meet you, Mr. Greenberg, or whatever your real name is. I got to go. Only later did I find out that Mr. Greenberg had been sent by the FBI, that he was an FBI informant. I believe we'll be able to prove pretty shortly that Mr. McGonigal sent him. This was a setup. By the way, this was known to Mueller and his prosecutors. It doesn't show up in the report other than the one line saying we could find no evidence that Greenberg, they didn't even use his real Russian name, was working for the Russian state. No, that's because he was working for you. It was an FBI informant. Even the Washington Post, to their credit, was forced to publish that.
Very interesting. Very interesting. So Roger, you know, we've got a lot going on. We've got a Chinese balloon in the air, right? Maybe taking away from the Hunter Biden story, the Hunter Biden and the lawyers just admitted that the laptop is in fact his. Now he's playing victim. Then you've got over there, the Privat Bank foreign billionaire in Ukraine being raided by Ukraine authorities. You know, is all of this connected? Are they covering up or are they actually trying to get justice? What is your opinion on all that?
Well, I think in the Hunter Biden case, what's happening here is very clear. Even the New York Times, the Washington Post, they all now admit after the fact that the Hunter laptop Biden information is real, it is authentic, and it is problematic. And therefore, what the left always does is try to distract from the overwhelming evidence of corruption and treason by creating a controversy about how that information became public. Mm-hmm. That's what they're trying to do. So the assertions by Abby Lowell, a lawyer who represents Hunter Biden, who, by the way, I know personally, and he's a very able lawyer. He's a liberal Democrat, but he's an able lawyer, sending a letter to the assistant U.S. attorney in Delaware and to the Delaware attorney general, to the head of the IRS, accusing those who expose this information of doing so in an illegal manner is complete and total nonsense. If Abby Lowell files a motion in court on that basis, he's going to get sanctioned because we know where the laptop came from. Hunter Biden signed a service agreement with a laptop repair shop merchant I should say, a technician by the name of John Paul McIsaac. The agreement he signs clearly says that if Hunter Biden does not retrieve his laptop 90 days after the repairs have been made, then its ownership reverts to the shop owner. Such an agreement is perfectly legal under Delaware law. Therefore, the idea that John Paul McIsaac stole the laptop is a lie, and now McIsaac is suing Hunter Biden for defamation. Remember Newton's law. For every action in nature, there is an equal reaction. That's what you have here. You can now claim that the Marco Polo Foundation, which has done a tremendous public service of putting all of the laptop data up online where any researcher, including many in the lamestream media, can search it, can look at it, has done a huge public service. No, it's not political. He's been on my show, The Stone Zone, which airs at 5 o'clock every day at stonezone.live, 5 o'clock Eastern at stonezone.live. I've had him on the show twice. There's been no discussion of politics. He never advocated for any candidate or party, or we even talked about an election. What we talked about is this public information, well within the guidelines of what a tax-free foundation can do. This is a investigative journalist organization, and to try to throw aspersions on their tax status is to try to use Joe Biden's regulators to have a chilling effect. They're not going to get the toothpaste back into the tube. Hunter Biden, if not in a court, and it's unclear to me what the U.S. attorney in Delaware will do in the face of this massive corruption evidence, but the Republicans in Congress are clearly going to dig into payments to Hunter, Joe, and Jim Biden by Russians, by Chinese, by Romanians, by Ukrainians, by various bad actors, certainly going to look into Hunter Biden's involvement with the biotech labs in Ukraine. There's so much here. You almost don't know where to start, but you're not going to be able to divert everybody to the question of how this information became public. Let me sum it up. Every action that made this information public was perfectly legal. John Paul McIsaac turned the laptop over to the FBI, believing them to be the premier law enforcement organization in the country. And it was only 15 months after they did absolutely nothing that he took the act of sending it to an officer of the court, Rudy Giuliani, who authenticated it for himself and then sent it to the New York Post. All 100% legal.
It's legal, guys. I mean, there's the agreement. So could you imagine, let's just say, Don Jr.'s laptop and it had bad... They wouldn't even question where it came from, how the information came from. I mean, this is absolutely absurd. Also, there's thousands of crimes on that laptop that Marco Polo has actually found out. And, you know, this is not a Republican and Democrat issue anymore, guys. This is a corrupt criminal organization, the Biden crime family, and more. I mean, we know it's more than just Biden. And they've got businesses in, Ukraine, the bio labs, and, you know, they've got businesses in China, Bohai Harvest and the lithium battery mining that, you know, they gave away our military in Afghanistan. And then all of a sudden they get the mining rights and, you know, for lithium batteries and, you know, with the Taliban. I mean, it's all there. Kazakhstan, you know, we can go on and on. China, Ukraine, other countries, all of it. Now China has a balloon and Biden can't shoot it down because he's owned by China and he's corrupt. I mean, we can't even protect ourselves. And now it's national security. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I just find this mind boggling. What would happen if we put a surveillance aircraft over Chinese sovereign territory? I can tell you what would happen. It would be shot down immediately, and there would be some repercussion. There would be some counterattack. So what this administration breeds is weakness, also a distraction. Well, let's all talk about the Chinese balloon so we don't talk about the epic corruption of Joe, Jim, and Hunter Biden. It boggles the mind that we're being tested in this way. So clearly the Chinese generals are sitting around saying, let's throw up a surveillance balloon and see what the Americans do. If they do nothing, it bolsters my argument that we can move on Taiwan and they will do nothing. And I think we all understand that if the Chinese choose to move on our ally, nationalist China, Taiwan, the Biden Justice Department, the Biden State Department will issue a strong letter of rebuke. And that will be our reaction.
I mean, a letter of rebuke. I mean, you know, Donald Trump says, shoot the balloon down. You know, he said, shoot it down. What's in there? I mean, is it just, you know, information? And it's over Montana. As you know, there's the big missile squadron. What is it? The 374, whatever. I can't remember which one it is. But there's also many others in Montana. And it's circling over Montana, circling. It's, you know, are they trying to gather our nuclear secrets? You know, this is a real deal. This is no joke.
Well, I must tell you, I think if they were trying to get our, you know, our deepest military secrets, they have far more sophisticated technology than just an aerostat balloon. I think this is a test. This is a public relations test. Yes, we do have missile silos in Montana. We also have very important oil and gas production in Montana, particularly shale. But it's not clear to me that they're really looking for anything. I think what they're looking for is to test the will of the American leadership, and it has been found lacking. I mean, this administration put out a statement that essentially said, well, we looked at it. We don't think they're really doing any harm. But, you know, the danger of recriminations and retaliation were we to shoot the balloon down were too great. No, I think we have to protect American sovereign territory. It's shocking. I know what would have happened if Donald Trump were still in the White House. He would have given the order to take the balloon down.
Yep, and maybe see what's really in it, right? Like, you know, who knows? But I think you're right. It could be a test to test the will of the American government. And, you know, if we do nothing and maybe just some harsh words, you know, but doesn't, you know, if China owns Biden and if Ukraine owns Biden, do they own the White House? You know, that's also a very important question to consider, you know, and that's why I don't think he can do anything about it because they have too much dirt on them, both countries, respectively.
Well, it's amazing to me that these classified documents, the first tranche of classified documents from his days as vice president and as a U.S. senator, are found at the Biden Center in Philadelphia, which is a nonprofit financed with $54 million from China. Now, I've seen various news organizations say that that's not accurate. I double-checked it. It's entirely accurate. And therefore, there's further evidence that the Chinese have purchased control of Joe Biden and his family. But only now do we hear, and only after public exposure, does the FBI, you know, finally inspect the various residences of Joe Biden. The more they look, the more they find. So, but again, we have two standards. They had a full FBI raid without any prior notice on President Donald Trump's estate in Florida, Mar-a-Lago, yet they knew before the election that Biden was in possession improperly of these classified documents, and the attorney general and the Biden administration sought to cover that up until after the election. Just another example of the corruption of this administration. Will there be one standard or will there be two? Vice presidents have no authority to declassify documents. Presidents do. Donald Trump has always taken the position that he can take any document, hold it in his hand and say, this is now declassified. That's the process. You have to fill out any forms. That's all nonsense. So any document that he has is a document that he declassified. So what? What exactly were the documents that pertained to China and Ukraine and God knows what else that were in the possession of Joe Biden? What was Hunter Biden's access to those documents? What was the access of the Chinese to these documents when they resided at the Biden Center, where Joe's assistant, a certain Miss Chung, had access to them? I think it's a pretty good bet that the Chinese have seen all of these documents. No, it is. We now know why 51 intelligence officers jumped out and co-signed a letter saying, oh, Hunter Biden's laptop, that's all Russian disinformation. Not a single one of them has retracted that or apologized, although they have soiled themselves, every single one of them.
Even after just recently, they admitted it was his. Oh, my God. You know, Roger, so much for our intelligence agencies. I think, you know, our listeners right here, your listeners are more intelligent than the intelligence agencies. They use, you know, mainstream news articles for their intelligence. I mean, it just baffles the mind, sir. Now, enter, you know, Mike Pence. Is Mike Pence running cover for Biden? What happened with Mike Pence? He called up and says, hey, I have some documents, too. What's your take on Mike Pence's classified documents situation?
Mike Pence is, you know, is an anachronism to me in the sense that if he had merely done the right thing, and I think that there was legal justification, I'm not an attorney, but I do know that in 1960, there was a controversy over the electoral votes, specifically in the state of Hawaii, and there were two slates of delegates formed. No one accused John Kennedy of breaking the law when it appeared that the people had voted for the slate of electors committed to Vice President Richard Nixon. And I do think that there is no question that the state legislators have the final authority to certify who is and is not the correct slate of electoral college votes based on the a certification and a certainty about the local popular vote. So I think I'm not an attorney, and I stress that, but I think that there's something to the theory that while Vice President Pence didn't have the authority to just reject the certification, he could have simply ordered a delay and asked each state legislature to recertify and be certain that the electorals that they were sending were reflective of an accurate popular vote in the states. He chose not to do that, and the day he chose not to do that was the day he ended his political career. There is no one on the face of the planet who isn't on the payroll of Mike Pence who believes that Mike Pence would be or could be a viable candidate for president. The idea of the man who served at Donald Trump's elbow for 4 years not being the front runner for president through this one simple act in which he reasserted his allegiance to the two-party duopoly that secretly runs the country rather than the MAGA movement that honored him with the vice presidency is breathtaking. Mike Pence is done. He couldn't draw flies. If he runs for president in the early primaries, he'll be lucky to score in single digits. Only inside the Beltway do people think Mike Pence has a political future. That said, I think that he jumped out there and said, I don't have any documents. Of course, then he looked around and found out that he did. So then he had to come clean. Does that hurt Donald Trump? No, I don't think so. What that proves is that there are many presidents and former vice presidents that have access to classified documents and top secret documents, but only Donald Trump is being investigated over it. Until CBS broke the story that Joe Biden had such documents. But just the fact that those who have protected Biden at every turn over the last 2 years are now exposing him tells me that the ruling elite, that the Democrat big media cabal that includes Big Pharma, the defense contractors, Wall Street, and so on, they've decided that Joe Biden can no longer be defended. They've decided that he has outlived his usefulness. That between the epic corruption of Jim, Joe, and Hunter Biden, combined with Biden's inability to string together a sentence or be cognizant of where he is on certain days, combined with his feckless foreign policy, record gasoline prices, food shortages, inflation that is tied directly to the hundreds of billions of dollars that we're spending, not only domestically, but also shipping off to Ukraine. Yep. Joe Biden is not electable in the United States, and they know that. and they cannot possibly win another election with him, and they know that. So I believe Joe Biden is on his way off the stage. I think that he will either ultimately resign, which I don't think will happen because he and Jill are very stubborn and they really like, you know, the status. So he won't go easily. But in the end, if he won't go, they'll remove him under the 25th Amendment, which simply requires a majority of the cabinet plus the acquiescence and approval of the sitting vice president. Why wouldn't she do it? She gets to be president. For those of you out there who say, oh, my God, Kamala Harris would be president, that'd be no different than what you have today. Why would that be different? Joe Biden's not calling the shots. Neither is Kamala Harris. Barack Obama is calling the shots. There's even an interview in which he talks about it. He's often thought, he says, about a third term in which he can hang out in his basement. And the guy who's president would have earphones on being told what to do by Barack Obama. He's actually bragged about it. So I think that's who, at a minimum, he's extraordinarily influential in this administration if he isn't, in fact, running it on a day-in, day-out basis.
Roger, I've got a big surprise, and I'm sure it's just a coincidence for you. This is a huge coincidence, guys. We have Roger Stone on the MG show for Flannel Friday, right? Mr. Roger Stone, the best dressed guy in news talk, if you ask me. Look at what just Donald Trump just posted. Donald Trump just posted, like, 13 minutes ago, Roger Stone's Substack on the 2024 polls, is Trump the peace candidate? During our interview, Roger.
That is amazing. I'm very, very proud of this piece. The president liked it a lot. He sent me a text message telling me how much he liked it. My argument is very simple. The American people may be for Ukraine. They may be against Russia, but they're not for spending another $100 billion when this country has economic problems of our own. And nor do they want World War III, because I'm not sure what our interest in Ukraine is. This is not about democracy. Zelensky has outlawed all political parties other than his own. Everybody who ran against him in the last election has been arrested and sits in jail. He arrests journalists. He closes newspapers, radio stations, television stations. He's outlawed the largest church, the Russian Orthodox Church, in his country. So there's nothing democratic or free about Ukraine. It's an authoritarian system, just as authoritarian and corrupt as Vladimir Putin. So we're not choosing between freedom and democracy, and we're not choosing between tyranny and freedom. That's all absurd. If you look at Trump's record, based on his historic Middle East peace deal, which everybody said was impossible, but which he achieved, if you look at the fact that it was Donald Trump who closed down Putin's Russian pipeline, it was Donald Trump who sold offensive lethal weapons to the Ukrainians, something Obama would not do. It was Donald Trump who convinced that little madman in North Korea to stop his nuclear weapons testing program. He has a record of diplomatic success. The reasons the Chinese never moved on Taiwan, the reason why the Taliban never moved on us on Afghanistan, was because of Donald Trump. He is the one man with the credibility to negotiate an end to the conflict in Ukraine that protects our allies, the Ukrainians, but does not greatly benefit Vladimir Putin. He has a personal relationship with everybody involved, and he could make a deal for peace. What is his plan? Why should he tell you that now? If he told you what his plan for peace is, that would make enacting the plan impossible. But he's the one man who I think plausibly can run for president as the peace candidate and end this conflict in Ukraine. Otherwise, we run the risk of this conflagration turning into World War III. Joe Biden said weeks ago that if we sent them a certain type of tank, which he wasn't going to do, that was inviting World War III. Well, now, folks, we have sent them those tanks as well as Patriot missiles, because the people at Raytheon needed their payoff. The Patriot missiles they rarely work, by the way. So, I'm very proud of that fact that President Trump just posted my piece at Truth Social. By the way, if you want to follow me at Truth Social, I'm at Real Roger Stone. But at Twitter, where I'm now suddenly back, I'm happy to say, I'm actually Roger J. Stone Jr., Roger J. Stone Jr. I'd like to have the same handle across the board at Gab, at Getter, at Telegram, but it's not possible because at Getter and at True Social, squatters have my real name, Roger J. Stone Jr. So if you're at True Social, you want to follow me, please do. I'm at Real Roger Stone, and I am verified there. Now, I'm happy to say, to my surprise, Jeff, I'm back on Twitter, which I never thought would happen. I was banned for life in 2017. I had almost 980,000 followers at the time I was banned. Like many Americans, I just quietly filled out a form and asked for reinstatement. I never called anybody. I never lobbied anyone. I never told anyone. And then lo and behold, my page was restored and slowly inching my way back to where I was. So if you're one of those free thinkers who's still on Twitter, who hasn't been banned, please follow me at Roger J. Stone Jr., Roger J. Stone Jr., Roger J. Stone Jr. at Twitter. And I will appreciate that very much.
Yes, go ahead, get over there and follow him. But right now, mine is still permanently suspended at In the Matrix with three X's. I did do the same thing, Roger. I had 275,000 followers, and I'm still not on there. So put Elon Musk free In the Matrix with three X's if you could for me, Roger. I'd definitely appreciate that. I did file it because they did, what was it, yesterday or the day before, they came out and said, if you've been permanently suspended, we now have a new process. Go ahead and file the ticket. I did so and asked for it. I am a journalist. There is no reason why I shouldn't be on there. I use my real name. There's no issues. There should be no issues, except maybe, if I did have a TOS issue, show me the tweet that has violated the terms of service, and I will gladly delete it just to get back on, because I think we need to be all back on there, Roger. Congratulations, yeah, getting back on Twitter.
I must say, to this day, I'm still unverified on Twitter, and I'm scratching my head about that because I applied for my verification. I paid my $8 well over a month ago, and nothing has happened. But I'm still hopeful. On the other hand, hopefully, based on the quality of my tweets, you can tell it's me.
Amen. Amen. So, Roger, we go way back. In fact, back when we were on Twitter together, you actually did. Remember when Donald Trump did the debates? You would give me first option to run his debates, and these fine folks over at Media Matters didn't like it. But this was awesome. I mean, you and I got the word out pretty well. Media Matters for America, they love us, Roger. They love you and I together. This video is posted on In the Matrix YouTube channel and on Twitter, guys, and it reached a lot of people. So Roger and I, that's how we first really, really met, face to face and online and whatnot. But I was actually very, very honored that you gave me the first dibs on your analysis of those debates, and they were amazing, Roger. But Media Matters, they're funded by the 1630 Fund, Arabella Advisors, foreign and domestic billionaires, Hans-Jörg Wyss, George Soros, and Pierre Omidyar, right? I mean, these people just want blood for anybody that has a different narrative than the foreign and domestic billionaires.
Yeah, look, they're turds. That's all you can really say. We did some great work together on Facebook as well, prior to my being banned on Facebook. So, look, I'm very grateful to be back on Twitter. I love Truth Social. Telegram, I don't quite understand. The more I post, the more the number of people following me drops. I don't know how or why that's being manipulated. But if you're on Telegram, folks, follow me at Roger J. Stone Jr., Roger J. Stone Jr. on Telegram. Watch this afternoon. I will not pick up not a single follower. It doesn't matter how hard I push. So something is Fugazi over there at Telegram. I like Gab. I don't agree with everything I read on Gab. In fact, I disagree with a lot that I read on Gab, but I respect the fact that Gab does not censor anyone. They will let anyone express whatever view they want, no matter how it may offend or be repulsive or repugnant to other people. They are totally and completely free speech absolutists, and I think that has to be admired. The shadow banning, I think, continues on some of these sites, not all of them. But I have no expectation about ever returning to Facebook. And the reason I'm banned on Facebook is because some George Soros-funded research group claims falsely that I, at one time, owned hundreds of fake Facebook profiles, and they provide a list of Facebook profiles that I'm completely and totally unfamiliar with and have nothing whatsoever to do with. So it's an excuse because they don't like truth tellers. They don't like what I have to say, so they make up a phony reason as to why I should be banned. But if you're banned for life on Facebook, as I am, that automatically bans you from life on Instagram, which is owned by Facebook, which is, you know, which is disappointing because I used to really like the format of Instagram. I like the ability to put up a short teaser video. I can't do that anymore. My wife is still on Telegram. You can follow her, although now that I've said it, maybe they'll ban her too. I mean, this is an absurdity. It really is.
It really is. And so she's on Instagram, your wife?
She is on Instagram, Nydia Stone, N-Y-D-I-A, Nydia Bertrand Stone. And she still loves it. But, you know, who knows? She's a free thinker too, so they may ban her.
You don't want free thinkers. We can't have people that see Roger. Now, Roger, I know we've got a lot going on. You know, Roger Stone was just truthed by the president in regards to his Substack, rogerstone.substack.com. Get over there and subscribe to Roger and maybe even, you know, buy him a, you know, you can do a founding viewer, you know, subscription for $150 for the year or $17 a year. There's a couple of things. That's another way that you can help Roger out as well. And it's about the 2024 polls and how Trump is the peace candidate. Is he the peace candidate? I think he is, even with his actions, you know, with Middle East peace, right? I mean, that should be Nobel Peace Prize worthy, if you ask probably me and Roger. But right now, the Trump is towering over the GOP primary polls, according to Breitbart, that he's got a 35-point lead. But there's a lot of speculation that Ron DeSanctimonious, who is our governor, is actually thinking about running against Donald J. Trump, who actually kind of made, I mean, remember, he won just by like, what, 3% against the guy that had a dead crackhead in a Miami hotel room. You know, you can't make this stuff up. So what is your take on what's happening with Ron DeSantis and Donald J. Trump? What are your thoughts on that situation?
Well, first of all, I think it's important that people do understand the history. Ron DeSantis in 2016 would not endorse Donald Trump after he was nominated. Even when they were running on the same Republican ticket in Ron's congressional district, Ron DeSantis would not support Donald Trump, made it very clear that he did not endorse Donald Trump. It was only after Trump was elected that DeSantis rose to prominence as a defender of Trump on the House Judiciary Committee and taking to Fox television and conservative radio. This is the first time Donald Trump took any notice of Ron DeSantis because he was an undistinguished backbench congressman with a poor fitting suit and a bad haircut. It was only after every Republican county chairman in Florida, all 67, endorsed Adam Putnam, a former congressman and the state agriculture commissioner for governor. Every Republican in the state legislature, both the House and the Senate, including the Senate president and the Speaker of the House, every member of the congressional delegation, every Republican member, with the exception of Matt Gaetz, all endorsed Adam Putnam. But it was Congressman Matt Gaetz who convinced President Donald Trump to give his endorsement to Ron DeSantis. And DeSantis went in the polls from 7% of the vote, which is where he was then, to well over 50. It was the end of Adam Putnam's campaign. So Donald Trump can take single-handed credit for the nomination and elevation of Ron DeSantis. Then, as you know, Ron DeSantis was not a particularly strong general election candidate. As a member of Congress who had been planning a U.S. Senate race, he knew very little about state issues. Donald Trump had to come here twice in the last 2 weeks of the campaign season to drag Ron DeSantis over the finish line, along with Senator Rick Scott. Mm-hmm. So I think DeSantis is running is a personal act of disloyalty and treachery. It shows that he has no gratitude whatsoever. Because let's be clear, Ron DeSantis would be working in a Dairy Queen right now if it were not for Donald Trump.
Yeah, and
now you have the secondary issue of who is the real Ron DeSantis. Let me give you an example. Before the election, he very clearly said in an executive order that he would prevent children in the public schools to be taught a curriculum that included race, you know, the so-called race theory, CRT. Yet right now in Broward County, in the sixth largest school district in the United States, the school board has just adopted an ADL curriculum centered around critical race theory. So, Governor, what are you going to do about this? And the answer is he's going to do nothing. This is one of 13 counties, by the way, that have adopted this curriculum since the election. So all of that anti-CRT rhetoric before the election, that was just for the rubes. Now that Ron is self-reelected, he's done nothing. He told us he was going to prevent children from being allowed to go to drag queen shows. Well, there were a number of them in Florida between Christmas and New Year's at which children were admitted for free and children were clearly present. And you know what Ron DeSantis did? Precisely nothing. That's what he did. He had the most draconian mask lockdowns in the country for the first 2 years of his governorship. Now he has impaneled a grand jury, state grand jury, to investigate whether those who pushed the vaccination misled Floridians. If that's true, then the first person who should be indicted by that grand jury should be Ron DeSantis, because no one pushed the vaccination harder or more aggressively than he did. And he specifically said that the vaccination would protect you from infection. So his record is identical to that of Donald Trump's. And therefore, I conclude they're both wrong. But don't try to rewrite history and claim that you were some early opponent of the vaccination, because you weren't. In fact, this past 2 weeks, Ron DeSantis appointed a man named David Koerner, who was a Palm Beach County commissioner, but who dreamed up the Palm Beach County COVID-19 Compliance Task Force, a Gestapo-style, uniformed, jackbooted group of thugs who went around harassing individual business owners and individual citizens, ticketing people for not wearing masks, and trying to close down businesses that didn't require masks. They set up a snitch line. So if you didn't like the McGillicuddies who lived across the street, you could anonymously call in and say, oh, the McGillicuddies aren't wearing masks. And then the jackbooted thugs sent by David Koerner, whose task force is approved by Ron DeSantis, show up to bust you and give you a ticket. This man was appointed to Ron DeSantis' cabinet last week. Why would we have a vax Nazi in our cabinet? Unless it was part of a shady political deal, because guess what? Liberal Democrat David Koerner endorsed Liberal Republican Governor Ron DeSantis just before the election. Isn't that kind of strange that 3 weeks later he gets an appointment to Ron DeSantis' cabinet? This is the kind of grubby politics that people hate. Whether it is masks or whether it is CRT, I mean, in 2016, Ron DeSantis gave a great speech in Las Vegas where he said, we don't have masks in Florida. And I had to correct him. At that time, 3.6 million school children in the largest school districts in Florida were still being required to wear masks. And Ron DeSantis did not fire those school board members. And the ones that he did fine, he quietly canceled the fines after the election.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And he's part of that club for no growth. You know, you got, you know, all the rhinos into that, you know, Paul Ryan et al.
It boggles the mind. When asked in an interview which president inspires him the most, he doesn't say Ronald Reagan. He didn't say Donald Trump. You know what he says? George H.W. Bush.
There you have it, right?
President in American history. A guy who raised taxes just the worst. The worst.
Roger, where can people find you? I know you got a show coming up today at 5 p.m. Eastern time. Where can everybody find you, Roger?
So check out my show by going to StoneZone.live, StoneZone.live. You can also watch it on Rumble live streaming and various other live streaming platforms. You can go to my Substack, RogerStone.substack.com. Right now it's free, so you got to sign up. But I'd love to have you subscribe because we're going to lock it down fairly soon. President Trump just minutes ago reposted a story that I wrote there in which I identified Donald Trump as the peace candidate. So you can go to my Substack. You can also go to my website, StoneZone.com, StoneZone.com. Get your very own Roger Stone. This is a stone signed by me personally. It's a paperwork. You're going to want to want one of these. I guarantee it. Go to StoneZone.com in the shop.
I want one. The incredible Roger Stone. Thank you for taking time out of your day to come to the MG show. We love you very much. Roger Stone did nothing wrong. Get out. Follow him on Twitter. Roger J. Stone Jr. on Twitter. Get over there. Tell him the MG show sent you everywhere you go. Roger Stone, thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you, man. Great to be here.
All right. And that's Roger Stone. And with that, we will be right back after these beautiful messages. Wow, and Shady's not even here, but he's going to take it away.
Stay tuned for hour number two of the Matrix Groove Show live on Red State Talk Radio. Coming right up after these words, in the Matrix with 3X's.com.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me running?
Wow.
The Brighteon store understands the importance of getting all the nutrients you need to support the healthy functions of your body. Our nutrient-dense superfoods and supplements can help nourish your body and promote your optimal health and well-being. 100% customer satisfaction guarantee on all purchases. You deserve the best. BrighteonStore.com. Support this amazing platform and amazing Patriots for Humanity.
Use promo code MGSHOW at checkout for additional savings.
Government-induced inflation, taxes, rising interest rates, and political instability. They all have a crushing effect on our investments, often causing the stock market to go down. They can also cause gold and silver to go up. There's a time to be in stocks, bonds, and mutual funds, and there's a time to get out. This is the time to hold gold and silver. Kirk Elliott, double PhD, has been protecting individual Americans' assets for more than two decades.
Hi, I'm Kirk Elliott. There is no such thing as a bad investment. There is only bad timing for investments. And now is the time to own gold and silver.
Now is the time to own physical metals in an IRA, a 401k, and of course, outside of a retirement plan. Don't let the government destroy your hard-earned assets. Please call 720-605-3900. 720-605-3900 for gold, silver, and undeniable economic protection against out-of-control government.
Support the guys and mention MG Show when you call.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, and I want to thank each and every one of you for your support by bringing you the pillow that started it all. Get my standard My Pillow, regularly $49.98, now only $19.98 with your promo code. Just like all of you, I've tried every pillow out there, and none of them worked. That's why I invented My Pillow. My patented fill adjusts your exact individual needs, helps keep your neck aligned, and it holds its shape all night long, regardless of your sleep position. So you get the best sleep of your life. Because it works, we've sold over 70 million My Pillows, and now I'm bringing them to you for the lowest price ever. Go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use your promo code, and you'll get my standard My Pillow for only $19.98. For a more custom fit, my premium queen for only $27.98. Or my premium king, only $34.98. My 60-day money-back guarantees it'll be the most comfortable pillow you'll ever own.
Show on RedStateTalkRadio.com. Just say, hey, Alexa, play Red State Talk Radio.
Roger Stone did nothing wrong, leave Roger Stone alone. Then went to the White House, helped him sell to some chicks. Then Hillary intimidated, asked Miss Broderick. That dirty duo lined their pockets at our expense, and those knew the truth would go down just as they prayed. Can't Roger Stone did nothing wrong, leave Roger Stone alone. Roger Stone did nothing wrong, leave Roger Stone alone. When you mess with a Clinton, there's a target on your back. Catch a suicide or jet lag or sudden heart attack. They'll call you Russian assets when they're all out of luck. Tell me how you get obstruction when there's nothing to obstruct. Roger Stone did nothing wrong, leave Roger Stone alone.
Look, we Roger Stone. He did nothing wrong to the FBI, need to press when they bashed away his home. I guess that was a demonstration of intimidation. And you want to think that's a bit amazing, no humiliating, it's a witch hunt. They said he lied about the emails. They went to the media without providing the details. The deep state want to shut us down, but we'll prevail. They thought he had the power, but they the one that can DL. He ain't supposed to truth, but they don't like that. But we can't fold, can't deal, so we fight back. Roger Stone is taking all the hits, all the bullets, all the licks. But sometimes it's what you gotta do to get on the right track.
With a Clinton, there's a target on your back. Catch the suicide or jet lag or sudden heart attack. They'll call you Russian assets when they're all out of luck. Tell me how you get obstruction when there's nothing to obstruct. Roger Stone did nothing wrong, leave Roger Stone alone. Roger Stone did nothing wrong, leave Roger Stone alone.
Roger Stone did nothing wrong. Please leave Roger Stone alone. And he's been on the MG show here several times. Thank you for having us and Roger Stone. Thank you for your Rumble rants. I saw a few earlier this in the show. Thank you very much. We are only funded by you. You know, Shady's flying around today, and I maintained the show today for you guys for Flannel Friday. And I had a co-host, Roger Stone. Roger Stone, leave Roger Stone alone. Shady Groove is... going to be here soon. We're going to be hanging out with him in Florida. I can't wait to see him, and it's going to be amazing. So and by the way, wasn't it interesting that this happened during our interview? I mean, Donald J. Trump just, you know, 41 minutes ago posted this Roger Stone Substack. And if you're listening, Donald J. Trump, or one of Donald J. Trump's people, we love you. Thank you very much. And I'm sure it's a coincidence. I don't know, maybe I should look at the timestamp. 12:27. Maybe we ought to look at the timestamp. What do you think about that? And let me see. I think Shady's here. It's weird. Shady's here in spirit, right, Shady? Did you hear him? I heard him. So we got that. So leave Roger Stone alone. Let me get the Q Alerts app up, because you know QAG is down, guys. I'm sorry about that. And you know, we tried to get it. 12:27 is the timestamp. Let me just pull that up. Let's check it out. All right. We are honored, proud, and appreciative. Where we go one, we go all. Q. So that's to Roger Stone, guys. We are honored, proud, and appreciative. Where we go one, we go all. Q. Leading back to the timestamp, 12:27, right here, guys, on February 3rd. Pretty amazing. What was the date of that drop? It was April 21st. Pretty cool. So Roger Stone did nothing wrong. Leave Roger Stone alone. All charges dropped. The Russia is a fraud, as we all know. And basically, there was a great interview yesterday as well, and I want to play it here. It's about 20 minutes or so. RSBN did a fantastic job, and RSBN loves us. They always allow us to play their stuff and even stream when they stream, if we go live streaming. So we're going to go ahead and play the interview. It was actually absolutely fantastic. It's about 20 minutes or so. Let's check it out. This is RSBN's exclusive interview with Donald J. Trump.
Mr. President, once again, thank you so much for your time that you're going to spend with us tonight. First question, I want to get into the war in Ukraine. Now, under your administration, there was world peace. We didn't have all this chaos in the world. Now it seems like it's escalating even to...
By the way, thank you, Sandy Star White. We, the people, love MG Show, and we got Effectual Insurrection. Great job, Jeff. Roger was great. Thank you, guys. I appreciate those rumble rants. Thank you.
To Crimea is even in the question. You've said before on social media and at speeches that you have a solution, and you said, hey, this can be negotiated. How do we do that?
Well, first of all, it should have never started. It would have never started had I been president. There was no chance of this war starting. And frankly, I don't think Putin wanted to do it. I think he was sort of forced in by the statements being made by Biden. And it's something so sad to see, because no matter what happens now, it can never be like it could have been, with nobody dead and with no cities demolished. Because you look at some of these cities, they're absolutely in ashes. This one city, they were flying over it. There was not one building standing. So it should have never, ever happened. But it did happen. With that being said, it can be negotiated, I think, within 24 hours. It really has to be done from the office of the president. And you have to get them both in a room. And there are things you can say to each one of them, which I won't reveal now, which will guarantee that this war will end immediately. And they have to do it, because what's happening is a horror. It's a horror. And far more people are being killed than what they're talking about. You know, they're talking about numbers that are nothing by comparison to what the real numbers are. When they knock down those big apartment houses, and when they knock out cities and they say two people died or three people were hurt, that's not right. So I think the numbers are far greater. That'll be revealed at a later date. But we have to do something about it. That war has to stop, and it has to stop now. And it's easy to do.
We talked to a lot of Americans, obviously, and they are concerned about, we just keep sending money. It's a blank check. That there's no audit, there's no checks and balances. Obviously, you would be for auditing Ukraine. Sure, sure. Yeah.
Well, I think we're sending probably at least 10 times what Europe has sent. I believe we're really at $107 billion, maybe more than that. And Europe is at a tiny fraction of that number. And obviously, Europe's affected much more than we are. They're right there. They're closer. You look at Germany's always been very hard to get them involved, and others have been very, very difficult to get them involved. And the numbers are not fair. It's just not fair to the United States. And I feel horribly for the people of Ukraine. I feel horribly for the people of Russia. I mean, everybody's suffering, and it's got to get solved. But when you look at the United States, with maybe 10 times the amount, it's a number that's astronomical, the difference. It's very much like NATO. When I got involved with NATO, most of the countries weren't paying, or they were not paying their fair share. There were only seven countries that were paying their fair share. And I said, that's not going to be. And within a short period of time, we had hundreds of billions of dollars being sent in. And nobody else was able to do it, not Bush, not Obama, nobody. And I got it done. I had one meeting, and then the second meeting I went. I had to get a little, you know, I had to gain a little bit of knowledge, but I did notice. I said, you know, why aren't these people paid up? I used the word delinquent. They were delinquent. And when I went in the second time, I said, look, we have a problem. Nobody's paying. You're not paying your fair share. The United States was paying for everybody, in a sense. I mean, I believe the United States was paying close to 100% of NATO. So ridiculous. And it really is a protection of Europe. And so I would say that, we got to be smarter. And the money they have is money that I got. You know, the reason they have money right now, I believe we got $440 billion paid into NATO in a fairly short period of time. They asked a question, well, does that mean that if we're not paid, the United States will not defend us against Russia if something should happen? I said, you mean you're not paid up? Yes, sir. He said, that's what it means. We will not defend you. And money poured in like nobody's ever seen. And the Secretary General, the gentleman that runs at Stoltenberg, who's a good man, he said, I think he's my biggest fan. Now, he may not be anymore because, you know, politically it may not be correct for him to say, oh, Trump was great. What he said was, there's never been anything like it. I've never seen anything like it, because he's been there a long time and other people before him. And you take a look and you ask him, and you should ask him, because if his answer is the same, he said, I never saw anything like it. It was amazing. So they have the money to do what they're doing now because of what I did with the countries that were not paid.
All right, let's shift our attention over to the southern border. I think more Americans are more concerned about what's going on our southern border. Once again, under your administration, we had low border crossings, really relatively no drugs coming across the border. Now, over 300 people a day die of some kind of fentanyl poisoning. What's your plans on the border, obviously, to restore the wall? But many are asking for some type of war on the drug cartels, and if that was possible. But what's your thoughts on that?
So we had the safest border in the history of our country, or at least recorded history. I guess maybe 1,000 years ago was even better, right? But we had the safest in the history of our country. I built hundreds of miles of wall. I got Mexico to give us 28,000 soldiers free by using our economic power. And I had a great relationship with the president of Mexico. But using our economic power, we were able to get 28,000 soldiers for nothing. And we created Stay in Mexico. We also created a system that nobody thought possible. If you're sick, you can't come into our country. And nobody even knew about that but me. And we had the safest border in history. We had the lowest drug numbers, I think, in 37 years. And they were going down to very little. And I even worked with China. I spoke to President Xi. And I said, you have to do something about the fentanyl that you're making and sending to Mexico.
Yeah.
And he was doing that, and he was starting to do it. And I said, you have to criminalize it, meaning death penalty for those people that make it. And he was going to criminalize it, and he had started. And then we had a rigged election, and the other people took over, and it's the worst border we've ever had. I believe it's the worst border in the history of the world for any country, because there's no country, even a third world country, that would allow people to pour in like they're pouring in now. And I believe the real number could be 15 million people, not 3 or 4 million. I believe it's 15 million. And they're emptying their prisons, and they're emptying their, they're putting in people in their jails and prisons. They're putting them into our country. And they're putting their mental patients and from their mental hospitals and those kind of places, they're dumping them into our country. They're saving a fortune. By the way, I'd be doing exactly what they're doing. They're saving a fortune. They're taking their mental patients out. They're taping their prisoners out, and they're putting them into the United States. They're putting people that aren't very good workers into the United States, people that haven't been productive. We're taking everybody. It's killing our country.
All right, we come back. We're going to ask the president about the media that has never been fair to him. Stick around.
We'll get back to the interview here in just a second. Over and have to say
a platform. Okay, Mr. President, back in 2015, our CEO, Joe Seals, formed Right Side Broadcasting to do nothing but because a platform for you, your rallies. We showed the crowds. We turned the cameras. We did from start to finish. But we only wish everyone was like us, and we think that really the media has not covered you remotely and fairly. They've covered up stories. They didn't cover certain stories. What do you think the media is going to be like in 2024? Have they changed at all in the way they cover you?
Well, not only the media, the FBI goes in and tells Twitter, don't cover, and it's misinformation. The laptop was misinformation or disinformation. They use both words, which are pretty much the same when you get right down to it. But what's happened is not even thinkable in our country. The media is fake. It's corrupt. It's bad. Not all of it, but a lot of it, most of it. It's very bad and very dangerous. And it's hard to believe when you think they don't want to have borders. They don't want to have good education. They don't want to have tax cuts. I gave the largest tax cuts in history. I gave the largest regulation cuts in history. They don't want that. They don't cover things like the disaster of Afghanistan, that horrible, horrible period of time, which is the most embarrassing time ever. You don't see anything about that. That was just a short story. That was the worst. I believe it was the most embarrassing time in the history of our country. No, the media is very corrupt. So you have to fight through it. The advantage you have now is that, because I used to get a lot of press for 2016, but they had no idea. You know, we sort of snuck up on them.
You did.
We snuck in there, and they had no idea. They said, we'll never let it happen again. I mean, they were on record as saying, we'll never let that happen again. Right after the election, they couldn't believe it. But I got tremendous coverage. And then for 2020, they were nasty no matter what you did. It didn't matter how big a success you had. They were nasty. And that continues to this day. And they won't cover positive things. And if something's negative, they'll make it extremely negative. They lie and they put it out. But I think we're getting the word. I mean, we do your shows and we do a lot of other shows. And
Truth Social's been great.
Truth Social has been amazing. I mean, it's been one of the great, I think, things on that whole world of I call it the world of sort of semi-make-believe, because who would think that there's value and, you know, the value that's been created, but it's been fake media. Mm-hmm. Truth Social has been real media. It's been real. And I get my word out very well through Truth. And as you know, Twitter just took me back and Facebook just took me back and Instagram, and they want me. But, you know, it's not exciting like it used to be, because there's no dialogue. There's no people fighting a little bit, mentally fighting. And it's really, I don't think they're the same. They're not the same like they used to be. We're really, I think I really get it out to Truth. It goes all over the place. You know, I put out a statement and you get it. Everybody gets it. They get it. So, it's probably the best we've had it in years. You know, when we were on, when I was on Twitter, I could say something that was so perfect, or Facebook, all of a sudden it's red flagged.
Yeah.
And, you know, you talk about the Constitution, like NARA, where they have the Constitution. Think of that, NARA. The archives, where they have the Constitution and the Bill of Rights red flagged because they're dangerous documents. So I think Truth has been really a very big development, and it's doing tremendously well. Millions of people, and it's not, you're not going to be red flagged.
Yeah, we love it. We love it.
I know you do.
All right, let's turn our attention to law and order. I mean, there's so much crime, not only in the big cities of America, but it is pushing out into the suburbs. And I've always said, no matter what rights you have, if you don't have the right and you're not comfortable and you're not, you don't feel safe, then nothing really else matters. What would be your plan to attack the crime that is out of control in really every American city?
So one thing you have to do is you have to attack drugs. You know, if you look at it, so much of the crime is caused by drugs. You look at some of these people going in and they rob stores with guns, and they just, they don't even know where they are. Drugs are a big problem. And we were getting that down to a level that we haven't seen in decades. The other thing is you have to be tough. If somebody's robbing a store, you have to do what's necessary. When you see thugs coming out by the hundreds out of department stores where they're just breaking in and just, and the police are standing there, not doing anything. They want to do something, but they're not allowed to. They don't want to lose their job, lose their pension, lose their house and their family, because they take very strong measures against people that are doing their job. And so you have to give police back their authority. Now, you had a case in Memphis, which was so terrible, but that has to do with five or six people that just went crazy. I mean, whether you had regulations or not, I don't think it would have mattered. They went crazy for whatever reason. They just went absolutely bonkers. But you have to give the police back their authority. There are very few cases like Memphis, relatively speaking. You know, you never hear about all of the great things that happened, the good things, the law and order, the prevention of crime. But the police have to be given back authority to stop the crime. We are in a crime wave in this country, the likes of which we've never seen before. And a lot of it has to do with Democrats running the cities. New York is a disaster. It's a disaster. Chicago is a disaster. Atlanta has got one of the highest murder rates, I think per capita, the highest. And all they do is come after other people for other things. It's really an unfair situation and a dangerous situation. And you'd almost say, how does a country survive? You know, you talk about all these regimes and everything where they don't have crime. They're rough and they're tough and they're not good and it's a bad system. But they show these clips of what's going on in Chicago and what's going on in New York. No cash bail, no cash bail. Who would think of it? Murderers have no cash bail. But they show these clips all over. And other countries don't view our country the same way anymore. So you have to get tough. And what I would do, and I did it to a certain extent, but I, you know, you're supposed to let the governor or the mayor take care of their problems. But in Minneapolis, as an example, I sent in the National Guard. The governor didn't approve it. I sent it in. You have to do it. They're going to rip down the whole city. That city was going to be gone. And I saw CNN standing up and the guy's talking about, well, this is a friendly protest. And behind him, the entire city was on fire. I said, these people are crazy. So it's Democrat-run cities. You don't really have that in the Republican-run cities. It's incredible to watch. So you need law and order.
Yeah, we all need it. Okay, last weekend, you were in Columbia, South Carolina, and after your great leadership segment where you rolled out your team there, you made a stop at a local ice cream business there, and you had a moment where an employee took time and asked if they could pray for you, and she said a small prayer over you and your campaign. How does that make you feel that America is literally praying for your safety and they're praying for this country and that you get back in the White House?
What a great woman. She said, may I pray for you? And I sort of said, what? You know, we're standing in the middle of this place. And it was a nice place with a wonderful owner and wife and very proud of it and crowded. And there was a lot of love. There was all love. I don't know if you were there.
It was great.
It was all love. There wasn't somebody in the back of the room doing bad things. It was just pure love for the country and for the former president. It was incredible, actually, to see. But the one woman wanted to pray, and she did. And I guess that got a lot of publicity.
It went viral.
There were a lot of, there were a lot of cameras going when she was doing it. And she was terrific. No, it makes you feel very good. And it makes you also feel good to see a business like that where it's safe and secure and the food's good and all of those things. Yeah. As opposed to the other alternative, which is no good.
Which is not good at all. All right, we come back. We're going to play something called 5 with 45. That's coming up after the break. Stick
at the burn to go and get in
45. And I've got five quick questions. You just give me one word answers if you could. All right, number one, if you could use one club to play a round of golf, what club would that be?
It would be the 5-iron.
Okay. If you could play a round of golf with anyone dead or alive, who would that be?
My father.
There you go. Favorite artist or song that's currently on your playlist that you play at Mar-a-Lago or perhaps at the rally?
Heroes. So many. But, you know, Lee Greenwood has done such an incredible job with our opening song. And I will tell you, we love Lee Greenwood.
We do love him. All right. When's the last time you drove a vehicle?
Well, I've been doing this stuff now for 6 years, so about 6 years ago.
There you go. Final question, who got the Super Bowl this year? Eagles or Chiefs?
Well, two really great teams. I mean, they really did it. I think I won't because politically I like both areas and they like me, and I better not get myself in trouble. But I will say you have two great teams and maybe the two teams that most expected to be there. So it's going to be a great game. I think it's going to be a great game.
All right. On that note, thank you, Mr. President, for your time. As always, God bless.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That was a great interview. Thank you very much, RSBN, for doing that. I was hoping he was going to say heroes because I may or may not have been at Mar-a-Lago, and I heard it twice when I was there. Heroes, that great song that Cameron Moore and, oh my gosh, that was so good. And General Flynn posted it. Great song, Heroes. So what do you think of that interview, guys? I mean, that was outstanding. I was saying a lot of the same things that we're saying today. And, you know, very interesting. I wanted to point this out. Pepe Clifton, let me just double check here. Apparently, Rumble is and was down. And let me get the picture up because I downloaded the picture so I can make it a little bit bigger for y'all. This is it. This is how I feel about our country and how it's being totally ruined and destroyed. 12:18 p.m. Rumble also said they're going to decide to start working on an Xbox app due to high volume, high demand. So this is 4004 Anon's impressive about the Xbox. Why would an in-game chat be disabled during FF events? And it also leads to this as well, which is problems with Xbox Live, all that we saw at Q, great happenings, and then about the Xbox. Very interesting that Rumble is going to go with Xbox, and Rumble was down for the first 30 minutes of our broadcast. But the minute POTUS truthed, the lights flip back on, coordinated attacks. Interesting. Who knows? It is definitely very dasting. So thank you for that, Pepe Clifton. Interesting. Mike Hess also here in chat said that he missed the first 30 minutes as well because Rumble was having issues, it looks like. By the way, I just want to give a big shout out to Effectual Insurrection. Share the show out and hit the like button. Thanks for doing Flannel Friday with Roger Stone. Roger had, I made him get his flannel on. You know that, right? That's the kind of poll we have here at the MG Show, and Roger obliged us with wearing a flannel for Flannel Friday. Hit me up and I'll take you and Shady out for some great food in Florida, friends. Thank you, Yeti. Yeah, we love Yeti. You know, Yeti does a great job. He's got bring his daughter to work day. So me and Yeti have custody of the beautiful, beautiful daughter that he has. So there we go. So I also, some more news came out in regards to the Project Veritas guys. There was a new video out. I want to get that on because we've been covering the Project Veritas all week. Very amazing stuff. Basically the Pfizer director, that guy that, you know, tried to beat up with his double soy latte, Project Veritas is concerned over women's productive health after COVID-19 vaccinations. This is not a joke. This is very interesting. So let's watch this video right now.
Something irregular about their menstrual cycle, so people will have to investigate that down the line.
Yeah.
Well, because that is a little concerning. It actually shouldn't be interfering with that, so we don't really
know. It shouldn't?
It shouldn't, no.
But is it?
There's something happening, but we don't know if we're
Well, I mean, you're a urologist, so you must understand, like, what's going on with it, right? Like,
but that's why I understand that it's weird. I hope we don't find out that, like, there's somehow this mRNA, like, lingers in the body, and then, like, because it has to be impacting something hormonal stuff to impact menstrual cycles.
Yeah, or like the entire next generation is like super fucked up. Could you imagine the scandal? Oh my god. I mean, I take Pfizer off my resume.
So, tell me more, like, what's developing with the whole, you know, virus mutation process?
Mm-hmm. Well, they're still kind of conducting the experiments on it, but it seems like from what I've heard, they're kind of optimizing it, but they're going slow. They were very cautious, like, you know.
Right.
Obviously, they don't want to kind of accelerate it too much.
Yeah.
But I think they're also just trying to do it as an exploratory thing, because you obviously don't want to advertise that you're trying to put out future mutations.
How would the research study be delayed for COVID stuff? Like,
well, not for COVID specifically. So, like, now we're basically focusing on mRNA beyond COVID. So, okay. For a lot of our forward-looking research studies, you got to make sure they're on track and things like that.
So, what is RNA going to be used for in the future?
Lots of stuff, but I can't tell you because you can't release.
Wait, why not? Now, come on, I feel like there's, you know, it's just going to be like what for flu, right?
It'll be for other things too. There's a whole list of things we're developing it for. Not just for viruses. We're applying it for like oncology. Well, I'm less certain about the oncology prospects, but we're doing it for like gene editing. Like, wait, yeah.
Wow.
The portfolio's moved beyond, or at least internally, our focus areas have moved beyond COVID.
Yeah.
Like now they have like a dedicated COVID mRNA team that just keeps telling that.
Right.
And so the company has folks on like, okay, now where are we going to use this technology in the future? Because that's what we, the rest is coming out now. Like,
right.
Like, no one gives a shit about COVID.
Right. Like, is Pfizer going to be held liable for like any of these vaccine injuries that have happened?
I don't think so. Because usually when you give drugs, people, if there's like a known side effect, it's like this, it's included and like that's in the label. But they're thinking, I mean, like there were like lots of people were like Vioxx and heart attacks.
Really?
Yeah.
Vioxx.
So that wasn't for us, that was another pharma company. But they still have to do like a monitoring for it over time. So there hasn't been like any problems so far. But we'll see. Like in the next several years, if anything goes up, I'm hoping it won't, obviously.
Hope nobody's growing three legs or something like that, right?
Yeah, or like the entire next generation is like super fucked up. Could you imagine the scandal? Oh my god. I mean, I take Pfizer off my resume. I was becoming irregular about the menstrual cycle, so people will have to investigate that down the line.
Yeah.
Because that is a little concerning. Because, like, if you think about the science, like, it shouldn't be interacting with, like, you know, that it's called, like, the hypothalamus, pituitary gonadal axis.
Right.
Like, you know, the hormones are, like, the menstrual cycles, things like that. And it actually shouldn't be interfering with that, so we don't really
know. It shouldn't?
It shouldn't, like, no.
But is it?
There's something happening, but we don't know if we're
Well, I mean, you're a urologist, so you must understand, like, what's going on with it, right? Like,
well, that's why I just said that it's weird.
I mean, I've heard that, you know, like, just menstrual cycles and...
I don't know what's going on there.
Yeah.
And we don't discover something really bad in that one. I hope we don't find out that, like, there's somehow this mRNA, like, lingers in the body, and then, like, has... Because it has to be impacting something hormonal to impact menstrual cycles.
Right.
So somehow, the vaccines must be interacting with, like, that axis signal, the HPG axis, to cause these changes in menstrual cycles. Like, think about how this
HPG axis?
Yeah, it goes like the hypothalamus, pituitary, and then gonads, like signal
to okay, yeah. So the HPG axis is why the fertility problems are happening.
Yeah, because they control the cycles. So, like, if anything is impacting that, it must be impacting these hormones somehow. But then we need to figure out, like, how are they finding hormones? Because, like, the signaling starts in, like, the brain, right? And the vaccine doesn't cause the blood-brain barrier. I will say, like, if it does come down the line with something wrong with that thing, now some people will, like, criticize, like, the big push. Because there's a lot of social pressure, government pressure, job pressure to get the vaccine. Like, I had to get the vaccine, otherwise I would have gotten fired, right?
Right.
And if something were to happen downstream and it was, like, really bad, I think it would... I mean, the scale of that scandal would be, like, enormous.
Wow. Speechless. I hope nothing down the line happens. I hope the next generation doesn't become mutilated or deformed or whatever. I hope it was a test. You were tested on. We know this. It needs to stop now, period. So Project Veritas, senior reporter Christian Hartstock confronts YouTube vice president of global trust and safety officer. The actions to remove their Pfizer directed evolution piece. Check this out.
Matt, Christian Hartsock, Project Veritas. Why did you ban our videotape of a Pfizer director talking about mutating viruses?
Don't tell anyone this story. You gotta probably don't tell anyone. Okay? We're exploring, like, now, you know how the virus keeps mutating?
Yeah.
Well, one of the things we're exploring is, like, why don't we just mutate it ourselves so we can develop new vaccines? Right?
How much is Pfizer paying you to run cover for them? Is YouTube brought to us by Pfizer? Matt, you're the global head of trust and safety at YouTube. Why don't you trust the public with a matter that absolutely concerns their safety? Matt, millions of people are going to see this videotape, and they're going to see your cowardice. They're going to see your absolute contempt for the public trust, and they're going to see your absolute disregard for public safety. Are you sure this is how you wish to portray yourself?
Wow.
Matt, be brave. Say something. How much ad revenue does YouTube take in from Pfizer? How much was at stake? A Pfizer director talking about mutating viruses.
I'm like, no, you know how the virus keeps mutating? Why don't we just mutate it ourselves?
And you don't want the American public or the world to know about
it. YouTube just took down our Pfizer expose. YouTube gave us a strike and will not let us post for a week.
Why not? Do you have any ethical responsibility to the American people, to the world? Why does the public not deserve to see that videotape?
You touched me. That's not something you want to do.
Is that a threat? Are you threatening me? Is the global head of trust and safety threatening me?
No, I just said I'd call the police if you accost me.
Well, I didn't touch you, Matt.
Yes, you did.
Matt Halperin, global head of trust and safety, brought to you by Pfizer.
Wow.
Christian Hartsock, Project Veritas.
Crickets. And the cricket noises were inserted by me. Thank you, Sandy, because that's all I heard, too. Crickets. Oh, but you touched me. You know, knock it off, dude. You know, you got us off YouTube when Hunter Biden's laptop dropped because of 50 lying in, you know, intel agents. Guys, we need to have our voice. We, the people, have a voice. You are controlling the narrative. The narrative is wrong, and we are only wrong until we're right all the time, sadly. Wow. So there you have it. That's YouTube taking it down. There's the head of trust and safety. And this is what you get, guys.
And so this is what it's all about. So I'm heading off to Philadelphia. And if you want to ask me a question about the economy, but I'm not going to answer any question about anything else because you never will cover this.
Mr. President, why did you decide to postpone Secretary Blinken?
Take right? any blame for inflation, you, Mr. President?
I take any blame for inflation? No.
Why not?
Because it was already there when I got here, man. Remember what the economy was like when I got here?
Yeah, it was perfect.
Jobs were hemorrhaging. Inflation was rising. We weren't manufacturing a damn thing here. We were in real economic difficulty. That's why I don't.
Thank you. Mr. President, when and how will you remember the list? When and how will you remember the list, Mr. President?
Well, the president, they're not letting any...
You know... We voted for that? Did we really? Oh, I cannot wait for the weaponization people to get coming on. So this is to get going on their, you know, House committee session on weaponization of the DOJ and FBI. This is Rep. Matt Gaetz. He's launching an investigation into the McGonigal scandal, asking Director Ray as well, Jim Jordan and Matt Gaetz. And I know it's kind of hard to read, but the committee and the judiciary is continuing to investigate the allegations of politicalization and bias in the Federal Bureau of Investigation. Just last week, with the indictment of the former senior FBI official Charles McGonigal, the American people were reminded yet again about the seemingly pervasive problems within the FBI. We write to request material and information about McGonigal's misconduct. On January 23rd, the Justice Department unsealed an indictment charging McGonigal, a former special agent in charge of the New York FBI Counterintelligence Division, for working on behalf and taking money from Oleg V. Deprikaska. Say that 10 times fast. Who's a Russian oligarch with ties to Russian President Vladimir Putin. McGonigal allegedly violated sanctions imposed by the United States and the International Emergency Economic Powers Act by agreeing to investigate a rival oligarch of Deprikaska in return for concealed payment from Deprikaska. McGonigal also allegedly laundered money for compared aid for Dzhanskaya. So we got FBI. They're Russian, guys. I mean, that's exactly what's happening right now. They're covering up. We've got also some news about in the Ukraine. Very interesting. If you look at all these narratives that are happening, you've got the FBI investigating, the beach house. They didn't find anything there. The beach house, you've got the Biden's house, the University of Delaware, University of Penn. You've got Pence, Donald J. Trump, who can have his documents. Because he declassified everything. But now they're actually raiding the home of a Ukraine oligarch, which is very amazing to me. Because if you look at it, are all of these things connected? We've got all of the stuff about the classified documents. We've got, let me just go to the page here that I want to pull up. But this is pretty amazing that this guy, a Russian oligarch, is now being investigated by Ukraine, the corruption team, which is very interesting to me. This is the bill, real quick. This is the bill right here, the notice of hearing. This is the Committee on the Judiciary Select Subcommittee on the Weaponization of the Federal Government. The notice of hearing, 12 p.m. That's our time right there. February 9th, 2023, at the Rayburn House Office Building. Subject, hearing on weaponization of the federal government by direction of the chairman. This is the Committee on the Judiciary. This is good news. Buckle up, buttercups. It should be pretty amazing. We're going to get more on that. But this is interesting. So Kalaminsky is the gentleman's name, who co-founded Privet Bank, did business with Burisma and Hunter Biden. This is the actual article here. Ukrainian officials raid Zelensky linked billionaire's home amid corruption crackdown. Ukrainian officials searched the home of billionaire Ihor Kholominsky on Wednesday, according to multiple outlets, making the one-time backer of President Volodymyr Zelensky the latest target of a weeks-long crackdown on corruption in Ukraine. There is Ihor Kholominsky there. His home was raided Wednesday. Kholominsky, who co-founded Privat Bank in the 1990s, was seen Wednesday dressed in a sweatsuit as officials from the Ukraine Security Services searched his home, according to Reuters. Ukraine's Economic Security Bureau announced Wednesday that it exposed a large-scale embezzlement scheme worth $1 billion by management of the country's two largest oil companies, Ukrnafta and Ukratatnafta. Kholominsky previously held stakes in both firms. Though he was not directly mentioned in the report, Kholominsky has denied any wrongdoing, according to the BBC. The U.S. State Department sanctioned Kholominsky in 2021 after he was allegedly involved in corrupt acts that undermined the rule of law while he served as governor of Ukraine's Dnipro region 2014 to 2015, though he denied any wrongdoing. Surprising fact, Zelensky's connection to Kholominsky began before his entry into politics. Servant of the People, a Ukrainian political satire created and produced Zelensky, was featured on Kholominsky's television network, 1+1. The show featured Zelensky in the starring role as a high school history teacher who was elected president of the Ukraine after he's shown online ranting against government corruption in his country. Kholominsky then supported Zelensky after the former comedian ran for president in 2019. Leading former president and one-time billionaire Petro Poroshenko, that re-election committee to refer to him as Kholominsky puppet, according to Politico. Both Zelensky and Kholominsky strongly denied at the time that the billionaire was trying to influence the budding politician. This is from Forbes. Forbes valuation: Kholominsky is worth $1 billion, according to our latest estimates, making him the seventh richest person in Ukraine. He has lost an estimated $800 million since Russia invaded Ukraine in February 2022. Here's his background. Kholominsky rose to prominence in the 1990s after he and Hennady Bolohobogov co-founded Privat Bank. Both Kholominsky and Boholyubov later invested in fossil fuels while also owning stakes in Ukraine's steel, iron, and chemical industries. The Ukrainian government later nationalized Privat Bank in 2016 to prevent its collapse after investigations pointed to large-scale fraud. Imagine that. Imagine that. In December 2017, the UK froze more than $2.5 billion in his assets belonging to the pair in a lawsuit between Privat Bank and its former owners. Now known as one of Ukraine's most pro-European oligarchs, Kholominsky reported, funded, and equipped military battalions in an effort to stop Russia's invasion in Crimea 2014. And we know who was all behind that. Obama, Soros, you know, this was a color revolution. And you had Ukrainians firing on Ukrainians, guys. Several senior Ukrainian officials were dismissed or resigned last week as being accused of corruption following a call by Zelensky to crack down on pervasive corruption in the war-scarred country. In an effort to remove allegedly corrupt government officials follows an announcement by the European Commission, which listed Ukraine as a candidate to join the European Union last year, requesting Ukraine further strengthen its fight against the corruption before it could join the bloc, although Ukraine's chances of becoming an EU member remain unclear. Very interesting article, and you can tie him directly to Burisma, folks. Very interesting. So you have FBI's documents, maybe it's a cover-up, raiding all, you know, Pence, Biden's multiple locations. You've got real Donald Trump, who could declassify documents, even put in an extra lock at Mar-a-Lago to protect those documents, and Secret Service running around because he's a former president, protected. Joe Biden has him in the garage where Hunter Biden was listed as somebody living there, and who knows who was in and out of that garage during the time that he's had these documents for years, since he was actually a senator. I mean, guys, this is just insane corruption. It needs to be justice, equal justice under the law. And you know, we the people are tired of it. I mean, press 17 if you guys are tired of it. I'm tired of it. Where's my 17? Let me get over there. Hang on. 17. And you guys are about 17 seconds behind. But this is funny. This is Congressman Roy Nels. Roy Nels actually did a pretty cool thing. Check this out. This guy, there's a guy in his region for Rep. Troy Nels that actually has been deported 6 times. Check this out.
This guy, his name is Mr. Zavala. He ran over and killed Miss Boo. Her last name is Boo, 81 years old. Ran her over, fled the scene, took off. We apprehend him. Our sheriff's office apprehended him a couple hours later. We start booking him into the county jail. We run him. This knucklehead has been deported 6 previous times. 6. I think the American people are going to say, how does a guy get deported more than once? He's been deported 6 previous times. And these are just a few stories that Sheriff Daniels and I, we are sick of telling these stories. We are sick of having to have families come into our offices and explain that their loved ones were killed by people that shouldn't be here in the first place. I'll show you this here.
Wow. So this guy, known criminal, let back in 6 times. Borders wide open. Not to mention fentanyl, not to mention God knows what else is coming through that border, guys. This is really, you know, not a game. It's not a joke anymore. I'm tired of it. We do have the Chinese spy balloon over Montana. Very interesting. Here's a picture of it right here. Here's a little video. Check it out there.
There's the moon.
It almost looks like a moon right there. Okay, there's the moon. Okay, I was going to say. You got me.
There's that.
And there's that thing right there. It's about 3 buses long.
What planet is
that? And they didn't shoot it down. They didn't try to capture it. They didn't do anything. Because maybe if China plus one owns the White House, maybe China owns the White House. If Ukraine owns the White House, maybe they own the White House, right? Very interesting to think about, if you will. We've got some very interesting stuff. This is, of course, it's Hunter's laptop, guys. This is Hunter's laptop. This is what they're covering up.
About your laptop.
Yeah.
Was that your laptop?
For real? I don't know.
I know, but you know that's... I really don't know.
Okay. The answer is...
Could have been yours.
Of course, certainly. There could be a laptop out there that was stolen from me. There could be that...
It wasn't stolen.
It could be that it was the... That it was Russian intelligence. It could be
it
that
wasn't
it
Russian
was
intelligence.
Stolen from me.
And you didn't drop off a laptop to
no.
be repaired
no.
in Delaware?
Not
no.
that I remember at all.
Crackhead. At all.
So, we'll see.
It's mine!
Hunter Biden finally admits the laptop full of dirty deals and dirty deeds is his, guys. You know, we're always wrong, guys, until we're right. I mean, you just can't make this up. I want to show you this, too. This is very interesting. Donald J. Trump actually tweeted out Bill Maher yesterday. It's talking about Bill Maher going to, let me just get it over here real quick. This is Donald J. Trump's truth, I should say. It amazes me that Fox News and soft conservatives immediately put up Bill Maher on their network when he makes a statement that is close to normal. They think they are so being so cool, but MAGA people are real conservatives, view them as fools, playing right into the radical left's hands, and don't like it. That's right, Donald J. Trump. This is a movie that Bill Maher blows up real Donald Trump. Check this out.
Well, here we are, Donnie. What's it going to be now? I still want my 1523.
I guess the only thing left to do is to kill you. Bulldoze the Ambassador Hotel and build the tallest, ugliest skyscraper in L.A. with you entombed in a cement foundation.
You bastard. You'd gridlock Wilshire Boulevard, wouldn't you?
I wanted to beat you, Elmo. Beat you at your own game. But if that means I have to kill you, well, so be it.
No. No, you can't. I love him. No!
Not the sausage, you fool. You'll blow us all up.
That's the idea, Donnie. Shoot me and we'll all go. Come on, get back. All of you in the corner.
No, no, Elmo. Let's negotiate this. I'm a master negotiator.
I still don't get it. All I want is my 1523.
No, no, never! You can have the palace. You can have the plaza. You can even have the Taj Mahal. But never, never will I give you your 1523!
All right, we'll do it your way. But this is for Vince and the kid.
Wow. So that was a movie that he did back in the day. And, you know, Bill Maher and his radio or his show is Kid Love Productions, folks. You just can't make this up. This is the graphic that, you know, we used a long time ago. It actually isn't a cue post. It's hard to blow up. But this is Kid Love Productions, Real Time with Bill Maher right here. And he even has some, you know, some quotes here, guys. This is very amazing. Some of the quotes on here, not amazing, actually disgusting. Let me see if I can get a clearer picture of that. Here it is right here. This is Bill Maher right here. This is Bill Maher. I'm Swiss, 2005 production company. It's called Kid Love Productions. It says, but with Deborah LaFave screwing her 14-year-old boy student, the crime is that we didn't get it videotape. He was being taken advantage of. I wish I had been taken advantage of like that. What a memory she gave him. Disgusting. She is in jail because she is in love. That's how I view it. Mayor Bill Maher said this about a Seattle school teacher convicted of having sex with a 12-year-old student and getting pregnant by him. This is another one. The worst they said he could, that he, Michael Jackson, did was a little grabby under the covers. And Bill Maher, quote, if I could go back, trade that experience, beat up at the age of 12 for being gently masturbated by a pop star, I would do it in a New York second. Isn't this guy disgusting? And here's another one. This is, of course, I had to take Jeff to pay tribute to the king of this island. And this is talking about, I'm leaving for a real vacation to an island. If you don't hear from me in a week, off the grid, 2 weeks, call for help. Putin's got me. Hillary's emails. I want to see Bill's. Hey, Epstein, gas up the plane. Let's go sex to sex island. I want to be beep deep in Russian beep soon. Of course, I had to take Jeff to pay tribute to the king of this island. And that is a disgusting man, a disgusting thing to see, a disgusting thing to talk about. And then, you know, he's on Fox News now. I mean, you just can't make this kind of stuff up, talking about something, God knows what. I want to leave this show. It has been an amazing show. We will be back Tuesday. We're going to take Monday off. We will have a replay. Our beautiful Yeti will do a replay, or maybe not. It's up to him. We had a great show today with the real Roger Stone right here on the MG show, and he wore his flannel. How amazing is that? We're going to get out of here with Scotty Maher Films. I like to do Scotty on Fridays. Scotty's an amazing patriot. Go to Scotty Maher 10 right now, and we'll go see you guys Monday. God bless you all.
Унеможливлювати застосування Росією ядерної зброї. Але, що важливо, я ще раз звертаюсь до міжнародної спільноти. Як це було до 24-го? Превентивні удари, щоб вони знали, що з ними буде, якщо вони застосують, а не навпаки, чекати ядерних ударів Росії, щоб потім сказати, ах ти так, ну ось тримай від нас. Переглянути застосування свого тиску. Ось я вважаю, що повинен робити НАТО. Переглянути порядок застосування. Today.
You never let stop trying to make it a place worth living in.
www.mg.show. Boom.
Announcement last night regarding the high altitude surveillance balloon. I'm not going to have much new information to provide other than to say that the North American Aerospace Defense Command continues to monitor it closely. While we won't get into specifics in regards to the exact location, I can tell you that the balloon continues to move eastward and is currently over the center of the continental United States.